What's up, Mike Mendoza, Fast Real Estate Services, Cleveland, Ohio. On the commute today, talking real estate. It's September 24th or 25th today. Still warmer temperatures here in Cleveland, but sure that's going to change really quickly. But let's talk real estate, residential, commercial, multifamily apartment buildings, commercial buildings, buying, selling, leasing, property management, construction management, and consulting. So this week was a pretty rough week for my family. My father-in-law passed away on Sunday, and so it's been, something that I've experienced death in my lifetime, but no one this close to the family. So my wife is holding up pretty good, but I know she's heartbroken, and that her dad is no longer with her. And I started dating my wife when I was 17, 18 years old, so I've known her dad for a long time. He was like a second father to me, and he helped me out with a lot of things, especially with my houses, and taking care of my kids, and doing a lot of other stuff. So, when I first started dating Kelly, it was definitely intimidating, and not in a bad way, but I grew up in Cleveland, and my parents were in Cleveland, and dating somebody in the suburbs with, at the time, he was an executive at a big company, and so it was kind of one of those things that you as a 16, 17 year old, you're just intimidated by something like that. But obviously he accepted me into the family, and marrying his daughter and all of that good stuff. So, I really appreciate all of that. But just puts into perspective, like, everything, at least for me in this, what's relevant to this podcast is, I was in healthcare, and I decided, I could have continued to do really well in healthcare and make a lot of money and all of that stuff, but I just wasn't happy. And I know that if I didn't try to do real estate full-time, that I would regret it. So her dad was 71 years old, so, which in today's terms is, I think, pretty young. And I'm 45 now, so if I were to die at 71, that's less than 30 years away. So if I were to pass away today, would I regret anything that I've done in my life? Because I wanted to try something or whatever. And I can honestly say that I don't have any regrets. I'm doing what I want to do. And, although I'm not making the money that I want to make, that really doesn't matter a lot to me. It's important to make a living and take care of your family and also give back to your community. But at the same time, you got to do what makes you happy. And, if you're sitting out there thinking about doing something but are afraid to in your life, or, you hate your current position in life, whether it's a job or, the relationship that you're in, or what have you, anything, just do it. It's a cliche Nike thing, but you just gotta do it. You're gonna die eventually. That's a given. You could die in the next 5 minutes, which you could die in the next 100 years, but you never know. So if you don't know when you're gonna go and you want to do something, you got to do it now. You obviously have responsibilities and stuff, but just start working right now towards your passions, your what you want to do in life, and don't be afraid of what others may think. Obviously, you want to make sure that you have the support of people that are close to you, but at the same time, if you truly want to do something, sometimes you're not going to get the support of your family, and you have to make a tough choice, whether following your dreams and passions is worth the risk to lose some friends, family, and others over it. So, but again, regret is a really bad thing, and you know, I just think even a long time ago, thinking forward, saying if I were to die today, you know, would I be happy with what I've done, or would I be happy with myself that I tried to do the best I can, even though I didn't succeed? Did I do everything that I could to make a life that you know, I'm happy with? So more serious podcast, and you know, thanks for sticking with me here, but you know, I'm just doing what I'm doing. It's almost October. We're entering into the fourth quarter of 2019, and I am nowhere near where I set out to be back in January, and you know, it's going to reset in the next 3 months. So I'm just pushing. You know, I don't care, to be honest, like my property management stuff, like, sorry, if you're one of my clients out there, but, you know, I am doing my best, but at the same time, I need to stay in business. So in order for me to stay in business, I need to deprioritize some things on the property management side, and, you know, I will get to it. I will not fail, but it just might take a little bit longer because I'm focusing on listings and building up my brokerage, because that is what is going to help me survive. I don't think it's going to do any of my clients any good if I have to go take a job somewhere making an hourly wage, and then, you know, I won't be around. So I'm confident in my abilities and my experience and my skills. You know, it's just going to have to come when it comes. And I can't worry about it too much. And if, clients choose to, let me go because of it, then, you know, I won't have any, regrets, or ill will or anything like that, but, we will get it done. But it's just not going to be on my priority right now. So 2019 should end on a satisfactory note, but you know, if I'm blessed enough to live another year in 2020, it's going to be a lot different. So you know, so the theme, as you can see, is just, you know, I can't play around anymore. I got to do what's best for my business, and you know, it's unfortunately may affect some of my clients, but like I said, you know, I think I will be better for my clients down the road if I you know, if I don't survive, then obviously I won't be better for my clients. So that's, we're in survival mode right now, and I have to make things work from an income perspective. And, you know, again, I'm not going to apologize for trying to make income, but I need to. I have to. I have to take care of my family and also sustain my business. So, trying out a new VA. So, we're working on that. I got to curb some hours. You know, I know they're anxious to get paid, but, you know, if I can't afford them and I can't stay in business, they're not going to get paid at all. So stay tuned for more on that. I just couldn't afford the 20 hours a week, you know, even though it was like $8 or $9 an hour. It's just, to guarantee 20 hours a week is not in the cards right now, paying $600-$700 a month for that. Maybe the next podcast I'll go over all my monthly expenses, and it's pretty significant. So just to run a business. But with that, I will come back on the next segment. We will talk to you soon. What's up, Mike Mendoza, Fast Real Estate Services, Cleveland, Ohio. On the commute, talking real estate, segment two. Sorry, I haven't been posting as often as I would like to, or, you know, on a daily basis is what I should be posting. But at the same time, just trying to get through life, trying to establish my business and get things going. But, you know, I need to document this journey. I need to look back on this someday and really know what I went through. Hopefully I can utilize some of this documentary to help others in getting knowledge and experience from my experience in commercial real estate and real estate in general. So just been working hard. We did get I don't know if I talked about it last episode, but we did get a commercial listing, small retail space and apartments on the second floor, and we had it marketed for a few weeks, and we finally got an offer or a letter of intent that was accepted. Now we're waiting on the purchase agreement to come through, drafted by the buyer's attorney. So for those of you new to commercial real estate, it's a little bit different than residential real estate. There's no boilerplate purchase contracts, although there are some elements that are very similar in purchase contracts from deal to deal, but the saying's true, everything is negotiable. So whatever can be negotiated will be negotiated in the purchase contract, such as, you know, if you want to make the seller do 10 jumping jacks at closing, then that can be done. But more so monetarily or anything of value, like this owner didn't realize he had an awning that was fabricated, and then he had to get a permit from the city to install it. So we would include that in the purchase of the building. Now, normally the buyer's attorney or the buyer first, when you first start the deal of a commercial property, they send what they call a letter of intent. And what the letter of intent is basically defines the major terms, price and other thing, contingencies, when the contracts need to be done, when the inspections need to be completed by, so on and so forth. So the major terms that need to be in the formal lease, the formal purchase contract, instead of paying an attorney to draft a formal purchase contract and then negotiating from there. It saves a little bit on attorney fees because you're just trying to get a price and some major terms agreed upon, and then the formal purchase contract will spell out all the details, all the legal language that needs to be inserted for a sale of a commercial property. And then after the letter of intent, once you negotiate back and forth the letter of intent, then you agree upon it, sign it, and then now you have either the buyer or the seller's attorney can draft a purchase agreement, and then you can, and then And then if there's anything in the purchase agreement that needs to be discussed or negotiated, then that can be discussed. So normally you should put a time limit or a deadline for the execution of both the letter of intent and the purchase agreement, because this could drag out forever if you don't put those terms in. And then once the purchase agreement is drafted, negotiated, and then executed, then any contingencies like inspections need to be completed by the deadline date. So as the listing agent, you really need to bird dog and make sure that people are staying on task and being able to hit the deadlines that were agreed upon, both on the seller side and the buyer side, in the agreement. Because if any of those terms are breached, then either the seller or the buyer can back out of the deal, and that's what you don't want to have happen. You're putting in all this work, time, and effort, and you don't want the deal to fall through, if at all possible. So after the inspections, usually they come back with a report. The buyer comes back with a report saying, there was this that was discovered, and then that could be negotiated between the buyer and seller, whether monetarily or somebody agrees to fix it and to the satisfaction of the other party. And then once that happens, then we go on to get loan underwriting and title clearance. So backing up, even before in the letter of intent, you really need to get a pre-approval letter from a bank if they're getting financing or proof of funds, because you want to make sure that this buyer can get to closing. You don't want to assume that, depending on who you're dealing with. I don't care if it's somebody who's a millionaire or somebody who's, this is their first deal. They need to show that they have the financial backing and capabilities to close this deal, or you're wasting your time. So once all that happens, when the title clears and then the loan is underwritten, then hopefully you will close. And it is not closed, the deal is not done until everybody signs on the dotted line and the property transfers in the county record. So warn your buyers that the deal is, they get excited because they get a purchase agreement signed, that the deal isn't done until the property transfers. What I would also suggest is that you continue to market the property until the inspection contingencies are removed. That way you can have backup offers on the property just in case the original deal falls through because of inspections or otherwise. So you want to not take the property off the market and continue to let buyers, prospective buyers, see the property and also make backup offers, obviously disclosing that the seller has accepted a letter of intent. With that, I'm going to leave you. We'll talk about more of this deal and the actual happenings. You'll be surprised at, what happens during the deal. So I will try to update everybody about that particular deal. But sounds like it's going to, well, we'll see. We haven't gotten the proof of funds letter yet, and we haven't done the inspection. So we'll do that in another episode. Until then, keep thinking, keep learning, but most importantly, just keep doing.